The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Welcome to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden. I own a small gym in Sandpoint called The Shed, and I work with people of all ages and all particular fitness goals. And I also train people online from my gym in Bayview, but I'm also joined by my co-host Jill Kahn, and Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Sandpoint, and you also do some online work with patients right now.
I actually do quite a bit of online.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's
I'm doing
kind of
that.
The way the world
it's the way the world is. Yeah, I mean, I can spend the whole day at home doing all my sessions from home.
It's really interesting. I never was so resistant to it before COVID.
Yeah.
Never wanted to go down that route, but I'm really enjoying doing the online work with clients.
Well, I get exhausted sitting in front of the computer for too long. That's the one deterrent. But I've just come to accept it as a change, right? That's how it is.
Yeah. So I'm happy to see you. It's been a month.
I know.
And so much has happened in the world. Today, we're going to be talking about mending relationships after the election.
Yes.
And I think it's so important. And I think it's important that as we transition, we remember how these, for me, I'm way more emotional about it and not policy oriented at all. And
yes.
So I'm so glad we're now transitioning. Whatever the direction we were going to be heading as a nation, I was ready for this, for us to come back together.
Yes.
And so that's my thing. And I love your shirt you're wearing. Be kind.
Yes.
I love it. And mine is focus, because for me, I've been having a hard time focusing and really remembering the little things, the things that are most important. So that's a great topic for today. And then we're also going to be talking about binge eating. And it's a real problem with all the stress going on.
Yes.
People are making choices, just reactionary choices. And
yeah.
So I'm interested in hearing your feedback on that.
Yes.
And then I'll share with some ideas on maybe how to choose different ways to live.
Yes.
And then finally, because it's already happening, Thanksgiving.
Yes.
What are your plans with COVID and Thanksgiving? I've been talking to people all day in the gym to find out what they're doing to kind of see, because it's a different year.
It's a different year.
Yeah,
it definitely is.
Yeah. So what have you been up to, Jill?
Well, I did get one more paddle in, which made me really happy.
Nice.
Yeah. It was one of those warm days and sunshine, and I jumped on my board. That was wonderful. And we also last weekend went up to Schweitzer and put our skis and poles in our locker.
I can't believe it's already time.
Yeah. We took a hike, and it was perfect. So we're kind of gearing up for ski season, and the hardest part for me is that my daughter's moving to Boise this weekend.
Oh, this weekend.
Yeah,
wow.
And then Ellie, my son's girlfriend, who's been here from Italy for 3.5 years, has to fly back to Italy.
Oh.
So she leaves tomorrow. So we've had this wonderful little capsule, you know. We've had my two older children and their partners. And so the six of us have been quite a little unit.
Right.
And I've loved having our family dinners at least once a week. And now three of those four are moving. So
that's a huge loss.
That's a big loss, plus losing my mom.
Right.
So, and the other thing is I feel like I've sort of lost my girlfriends because we're really not socializing.
Right.
Yeah. We're being much more careful about COVID. So it's a strange time. It's odd trying to deal with all of those losses. One of the things that my husband and I are doing that I really love is after dinner, we sit down and I read aloud Thich Nhat Hanh to him, who's the Buddhist monk who talks about mindfulness and being in the present and gratitude. And so that's been a way for us to refocus, like you, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
On what's really important.
Yeah, good.
So that's one of the ways that I'm trying to cope, and we're probably also binge watching a lot of TV.
I'm telling you, I've got some favorites.
We do too. Better binging on TV than food or drink.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's just, I know we've been working really hard outdoors to get ready for winter, and I was telling Jeff, 2 weekends ago, we finished our firewood, and it's something, you know, I grew up in Sandpoint, and I remember as a family, we'd go out and we'd get firewood, and that was just part of what we did, and so with Jeff, we live out in nature, and so getting firewood seems, it's so fun for me and for him, and working side by side. And, you know, it's just during that time of gathering the wood and stacking it, not one time did I think about COVID or the election or anything. I was just looking forward to winter and being cozy. And it's just, so that was really a special thing to do. So narrowing it down makes a difference for me. And then working in the yard, putting the garden to bed, and it's important stuff.
We've been doing walks as much as we can. We take the dog up in the woods, and that's just been a joy. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed getting out in nature, whether I can get on the lake the last few times or
very brave
out in the forest. It was cold, let me tell you.
That's good. I mean, my kids are all in town, and so I feel very fortunate to have them here right now. And, we, you know, when talking to clients about Thanksgiving, it would be very different year if they were still living out of state, you know. And so I'm sorry that you're going to be going through the moves right now, especially.
Yeah, we may just have been for Thanksgiving. It may be very small, which is unprecedented for us. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but they'll all be home for Christmas.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Nice.
That's
awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start our discussion about healing after the election.
Yes.
This is Functional Health Radio. Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden from The Shed. The Shed is a small fitness facility in Sandpoint, where I work with people of all ages. And I'm joined by Jill Kahn. Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Sandpoint. So on today's show, we're going to start off by talking about mending relationships after the election. And I'm glad. It's just, it's such a critical time.
It is. And I've been having a lot of conversations. Actually, it was very interesting. On Saturday morning, after the news had broken about the election, I had a session with one of my clients. And they had said that it was really difficult because they had differing political views. And we moved into that. And what I realized is they had stopped talking about politics entirely in their household because there was fear that it would get contentious. And we talked about that, and I said, you know, there's a certain value in that because, you know, we do want to get along with people. I said, but on the other hand, when we're withholding information, there's a block in intimacy. And what I realized when we were talking further is that there was a lot of common ground between the two of them. And that as we really talked about it in what was a safe environment, that they had much more in common than they realized.
Right.
And it was very healing to have that conversation where she would look at him and said, oh, that's what you think? I didn't know that.
Isn't it interesting?
Yes.
And it's just I think the election was heated enough, but then you add the COVID aspect and the COVID fatigue, and I think emotions are just on edge.
Yes. Well, and as I said to them, I think we can all agree that we all want to maintain a decent economy. I mean, there's nobody can dispute that, right? We're all concerned about the economic ramifications, and I'm really concerned about the emotional ramifications of lockdown and poor economy, what happens.
Right.
And I think we can all agree that we're concerned about COVID and inhibiting the spread of it, right? So that's sort of non-negotiable, and how all of that happens is what we can get contentious about. But really, what I look at is finding common ground is one of the most healing strategies that I've found so far.
And what about thinking about core values, like dialing in on that instead?
Yes, absolutely. So tell me, how do you do that in your relationship?
We do it really well because that is the thing we share.
Yeah.
We share our core values.
Yes.
And we also went through and looked at everything, and we don't disagree on many levels.
Yes.
It's just I come from more of an emotional side.
Yes.
And my husband comes from a different angle. But really, we do line up a bit.
Yes.
And so, but it took some time to figure that out.
Yeah. Well, and I think the problem is that people maybe have avoided those conversations, and so they really didn't realize that they weren't that far apart.
Yeah.
But how we have those conversations, obviously, when they're working with me, I create certain ground rules for how people talk. So let's talk a little bit about that. So okay. What are the ways that even if you don't have a therapist,
right.
you can have these conversations safely? Mm-hmm. And the first thing is I statements.
Yes.
I feel about instead of you're such a racist.
Right.
Or, you know, you're misogynistic. Name calling is problematic. We do not want to use labels. Even if you say things like, you know, you're edging on socialism, that's still critical and name calling. So we have to be very careful and instead replace it with I statements. I feel very uncomfortable about.
Yes.
I'm concerned that, right? So using those I statements is really, really important. And you want to be careful too. If you do want to have a relationship with someone, especially if it's your spouse or a family member, what you can say is, that comment felt offensive to me. And maybe explain why. And then you could say, I'd really appreciate it if we don't talk to each other that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can, again, all I statements, telling what you feel and what that you'd like. So then if you're feeling a little bit ganged up upon, mm-hmm. there are some strategies as well. This was fun because a lot of this information came from, I was listening to NPR yesterday, and there was a columnist who gave these tips. And she said, don't bite the hook. So recognize when you're being baited mm-hmm. and don't go there,
right?
I mean, there are times when people will bait you. And then what you can do is redirect the conversation. And especially if it's a family member, you can say, oh, do you remember the time that we did this?
I'm so good at that.
That's
but
a good
me,
technique.
It's like, I don't like feeling, I think that's been the thing. I don't like sitting in that emotion of anger. And so if I can acknowledge whatever it is, but then find an exit strategy, I'm
yes.
going there.
Yes. No, that's a good thing. So yes, going back to those shared experiences, mm-hmm. I think can be very important. And the other thing she says is if she's going to a gathering like that, is always know where your coat is.
Yeah.
Right. And there are times, I know for me, we've had heated political discussions in my home in the past. And what I would do is I'd just leave the table and go upstairs and deep breathe for a while.
Right.
To calm down.
Yeah.
Just because I didn't want to end up saying something that could be dangerous, right?
Well, and just damaging. I mean, I think there
yes.
are some things that can be said that are, you're hot and heated, you don't even intend to say it, but it can really hurt someone's feelings.
Yes, yes. Yes. So I think we're in this time now where we do have to find ways of talking to each other that are about our feelings mm-hmm. and then also I think trying to find some common ground. Another strategy is to be curious about, help me understand why you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes getting more information allows us to have some understanding, and you might be able to say, I can understand why you would feel that way now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now that makes sense to me why you would see it that way. Doesn't mean you have to agree. But,
exactly.
But you can understand why they would view it that way.
And I think it's important that you, if you do want to express yourself, that the person you're talking to just listen.
Yeah.
Because it does get more heated if there's, you're not allowed to fully express yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
those are some of the strategies for healing. Mm-hmm. And if we have time, we'll talk a little bit more about how do we deal with this with family gatherings, perhaps.
Yeah, we're having a no politic rule.
Oh, you are. Okay.
It's just not, it's not, to me, everyone's been through so much already. And we can look forward to the holidays and being together.
Yes.
And why add any opportunity for any kind of negative energy?
Yes.
When we should be just enjoying each other and the holiday.
So that is one of the suggestions, right? Is that you can just say, let's not go there. Let's not have, and you can have this kind of agreement that you tell people in advance that because it's such a heated year, let's not have any conversations about politics. So that's something you can really do. And then be prepared if you're hosting, know who the people are and what you think their political leanings might be, and you might want to even assign seats where mm-hmm. people are close together who are like-minded. That's a kind of a nice way of navigating it. And if you're a guest, you can gravitate toward people who you think agree with you, and there mm-hmm. won't be that kind of contention. And then you, otherwise, you could just not bring it up.
Yeah.
Another strategy is to know in advance if somebody says something that's upsetting. So, you know, my thing is sometimes to leave the table or you change the subject, but have a plan in advance that if you get triggered,
right,
you know how you're going to handle it.
Yeah. And I think it's really important. This is a time when we can apologize if we have been acting in a way that is just not okay.
Yes.
And we've hurt people's feelings or just come on too strong.
Yes. Yes. Now, that's a really good thing that you said, Jen.
Yeah.
Because apologies, I mean, these are hard times.
They are.
They really are. And I think if you happen to say something that hurts someone's feelings, then you take responsibility for that and make amends.
And in recognizing that the other side may have their thoughts and feelings are equally as important. So, you know, the election may have gone one way. So there's a huge amount of the nation that's feeling wonderful joy and happiness. But there's another side that's really hurting and very scared.
Yes.
And it's, you know, celebrating in front of them and putting it, it's just not okay. I wouldn't appreciate.
No, and that. I'm presuming you're similar at your gym, but, you know, where I teach, people have been very sensitive about not saying anything. We just don't go there, and we all come with a common ground of we love working out, let's celebrate
that
what we can do.
That is why we're here together.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 We have that shared interest and focus, and let's love that.
Right.
And leave politics out of it.
And maybe as we move through this, all those wonderful things about our lives will take up more space.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion and maybe move on to our next topic of the holidays.
Yes.
Okay. This is Functional Health Radio. Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden from The Shed. The Shed is a small gym in Sandpoint where I work with people of all ages with their fitness goals. And I'm joined by my co-host, Jill Kahn. And Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I am so glad because these topics today are, they're rough. It's a sensitive time. So we've talked about, you know, ways to mending relationships after the election. But boy, it's stressful.
Yes.
And people are reacting and responding in different ways. And I know one is binge eating. Can you tell me a little bit what binge eating is?
Well, binge eating is when you're eating for emotional reasons. That's really what it comes down to. I mean, there's a big difference. And I oftentimes ask people with eating issues to pay attention to when they want to grab something. Are they eating because they're hungry or are they doing it because they want to feel better?
Right.
And binge eating almost always happens when people are eating as an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we really have to watch out for.
Is it similar to binge drinking?
Yes, it is very similar to binge drinking. Although there is a physiological thing. It's interesting to me. I always ask people when they have alcohol problems, are they someone who drinks too much, just in general? Or is it somebody where when you start drinking, you can't really stop?
Okay.
I know for me, I can easily have one glass or two glasses and be done. I don't want any more.
Yeah.
Some people are not like that.
Right.
And they may go periods of time when they don't drink at all. But when they do start drinking, they binge drink.
Okay.
There's no off. So it's maybe a little similar.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's more physiological for people who have that alcohol impulse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yes. We have to watch out for that.
Yeah. So the binge or stress eating.
So, yes. And we do have so many stressors. And typically, when we're stressed, we do think about things like food or alcohol. And that makes sense because tension triggers the release of stress hormones like cortisol, which can signal hunger cravings and send us on a search for food, especially junk type. So there is a physiological trigger that makes us want to eat that stuff. I don't think I've ever eaten so many kettle chips as I have in the last 6 months.
Well, I have an empty box of Juju Fruits in my car. So that was called Tuesday. But yeah, I was reading a little background information on this, and since COVID started, it's even gone up in houses, you know, because everything's changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And people really are eating more and drinking more. Mm-hmm. That's very common. I think I may have said this before. You're either come out of this a hunk, yeah, a chunk, or a drunk, right?
Right.
Which is, it's a good way of thinking about it, mm-hmm, that we do something obsessively in order to cope with the stress.
Yeah.
And food is really dangerous because it ends up causing us more harm than good. It takes a toll on us. So we don't want to be turning to food as an emotional response. But, and this is something I've been talking about with one of my clients, she really perceives food as the enemy.
Oh.
And that's a problem, yeah, right? Because there's this constant battle with what do I eat and how much do I eat? And it's really sad.
So building healthy relationships with food is,
yes,
kind of what we need to focus on.
Well, there is something, yeah, called intuitive eating, which I really think that's what I do. I really try to listen to my body and to say, what do I feel like eating right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes I really feel like I need protein, and sometimes I really need vegetables. So listening to what food your body is asking for, and I also am very careful about paying attention to when I'm full. Now, I tend to eat, yeah, slowly, which is a gift.
It is.
Yeah. So because I eat slowly, I usually know when my body's saying, okay, enough's enough. People who eat quickly.
Yeah, I'm a speed eater.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's
hard.
It's nuts how fast I eat. But yeah, I see this in the gym with some people. They really struggle. And it's the binge eating when there's a stressful situation. And it's, I talk to them about not allowing their bodies to get to that starvation state.
Yes.
Because that's when your insulin shifts and you're just desperate for food. And,
yep,
that choice is typically going to be a sugar or a carb or something like,
yep,
that. And I know you're going to cover some of these things, but you know, my tips for them are to always make sure you're not feeling that starvation. So whether it's having a hard-boiled egg, a little Greek yogurt, water, you know, I chew gum. Gum seems to, you know, get,
yeah,
me through times of,
right,
stress. So I'll let you continue. But there are some ways to really,
well,
correct,
and
this.
I absolutely agree with you, Jen. I really try to pay attention that if I'm hungry, that I do and I always keep little healthy snack foods around. Like almonds are a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can carry them with you anywhere, and that does give you a little. The other thing is I keep a container of those peanut butter filled pretzels,
yes,
in my office, which are not necessarily healthy, but they're not.
Well, I eat pretzels is my morning snack.
Yeah.
So I get that. And I think what I want to add, though, is if you're going to choose something like almonds or, you know, the peanut butter, already get your portion out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's so easy to have the nuts and,
yes,
end up eating the whole jar of,
yeah,
nuts. And then you're going to have that guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and sort of with me, if I have those pretzels, two of them.
Yeah. Great.
That's sort of like, okay, I can have two of these. So yeah, a snacking, I think whenever your body is hungry and getting to, when your body is in starvation, you're going to probably overeat, which is a bad idea.
Absolutely.
And as we said before, the first thing you should do is drink water,
mm-hmm,
because sometimes that will really, that may be what it is that you're thirsty and you're thinking you're hungry, but you're really thirsty. So water, snacks, that's important.
And do you think about why you're hungry? Like sometimes if it's like a bad day,
yes,
I'll ask myself, are you just reacting because you've gotten in an argument or you're upset about something, you know, or are you seriously hungry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are really important questions to ask. And there is a correlation between mental health, well-being, digestion, and food cravings. So we have to look at that relationship.
Absolutely.
What's going on emotionally? But filling up on empty calories can cause unhealthy spikes in insulin, and that can lead to a buildup of unhealthy cholesterol in your organs, which puts stress on the body and brain. So above and beyond the whole weight consideration, it's not good for your body,
right,
to fill up on that kind of food. And, you know, we do have that desire sometimes for sugar and salt because of our physiology, and it does provide what we think is temporary relief. but they don't offer the long-term benefits. So we have to be really careful for just opting for what's comfortable in the moment, mm-hmm. and have alternatives which are more, you know, sage.
Yeah.
There also are sluggish or tired or foggy feelings that follow when we overindulge.
Yes.
That's not in our best interest. So typical comfort foods like fried and sugary dishes boost a chemical in our brain called dopamine. So initially it feels really good.
Yeah.
But those feelings are short-lived, and that causes those unhealthy spikes in insulin. So we have to really watch out for that. So what should we eat instead
when
we're stressed, right?
Yeah.
So first of all, foods rich in zinc, which lowers cortisol levels. And also rich in magnesium, which encourages relaxation and sleep, and vitamin E, which reduces oxidative stress on the brain and helps with stress reduction. So that's things like eating sunflower seeds and legumes like chickpeas.
I love chickpeas.
Yeah, I do too. I love chickpeas.
Throw them on a salad.
Yes.
You can roast them.
Oh.
And add a little cayenne. Oh, it's so, yeah. They're a great snack.
Yeah, and that's the foundation of hummus, mm-hmm. which is another great snack. You can do hummus with veggies.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to eat. And a diet rich in natural whole foods and absent of packaged processed stuff. So we've talked about that before. Yeah. You shop in the outside
of
the store.
Exactly. The perimeter is your friend.
Yes.
You know, it's those aisles inside, the inside aisles where the juji fruits are found.
Yes.
Our danger zones.
Yes, yes, yes. And then foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids like salmon, tuna, and walnuts also have been known to help with combating stress, since they reduce inflammation in the body and can help prevent spikes in blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So those are also really good things to eat, salmon, tuna, and walnuts. Mm-hmm. You should use flaxseed, soybean, or canola oil when cooking. The other thing that they mentioned is sweet potatoes and other nutrient-rich complex carbohydrates are good for the ability to lower cortisol levels and provide adequate vitamin C and potassium, which are important stress fighters.
It's a great snack. I'm just going to share it because when I was doing a lot of triathlons, this was something that I would just take with me all the time because I was always hungry. But you just roast, slice sweet potatoes.
Yes.
And add, you know, roast them in. I would use like olive oil, but you could use avocado oil or something like that. And then add some almond butter and put that with them. And there is so good. And it really was, it satisfied me and was a healthy option for a snack.
Well, I'm a huge sweet potato fan. So if I have the option, I'll always go for sweet potato fries as an option,
sure.
or sweet potato hash browns, whatever. But last night we had a really good meal. So we had just baked two sweet potatoes, split them open, and I made a chicken curry with celery and onion and raisins and apples and made a really nice chicken curry. So we put the chicken curry on the sweet potatoes. We also happen to really love cottage cheese in our family. Mm-hmm. So we did part of our sweet potatoes with cottage cheese and the other part
with
the chicken curry.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, being creative about that and finding ways. But sweet potatoes are wonderful and, for me, really tasty option. Dark chocolate, yes, because it has essentially calming minerals like magnesium. Now, I do eat dark chocolate pretty much every
day. I laughed when I saw that in the notes.
Yes. I love those chocolate acai, covered acai berries from Costco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I am always looking for good dark chocolate options. We travel with that. Always have to have dark chocolate. And then healthy foods with similar qualities to your favorite snacks. So instead of chips, try crunchy almonds. Instead of sipping two glasses of wine, sip one glass of wine and one of maybe tea or water.
You know, carbonated waters, like bubbly.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Zero calories.
Yes.
But it's something different.
Yes.
It's not just plain water, but, you know, those things help me.
Well, we've changed our ritual. We used to have a glass of wine in the hot tub.
Uh-huh.
And now what we do is we have a bubbly.
Yeah.
And we have our bubbly in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that we're doing is we're just consciously choosing to take time off of alcohol periodically. Mm-hmm. Right?
Smart.
I mean, it's, yes, when we have people over, we celebrate. But, you know, just to sort of be very mindful about not having that habit of when you come home having a glass of wine.
Right.
We don't have to do that.
Right.
And actually, it's, I think, feels really good when you have those days free of either alcohol or sugary foods.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think going along those lines, you know, something that is helpful for me and other people under stressful situations is really take time to plan your meals.
Yes.
And think about, make your grocery list or use your Alexa and really think about that. Because honestly, if there isn't stuff to binge on at home,
you won't
binge. Less likely to happen.
It's true. I mean, I think you do have to be really careful what you put in your house.
Yeah, don't make it available.
Yeah, just don't make it available.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk about the holidays.
Yes.
All right.
How do we do this?
Because they're coming up. It's all right. This is Functional Health Radio. Welcome back to Functional Health Radio. I'm Jen Barden from The Shed. The Shed is a small gym in Sandpoint, and I work with people of all ages and their fitness goals. And I'm joined by my co-host, Jill Kahn. And Jill is a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Sandpoint. And we've been covering some good topics, but we're on to Thanksgiving. And how do we maneuver this with COVID?
Yeah. And I think really, really important to just remind everyone, the numbers are up, and they're up in our community. I go by the testing site. It's on the way to my office. So I get an interesting gauge on a regular basis of how many people are coming in to get tested. And it has consistently been, there are more cars there.
Sure.
So it's really something we have to pay close attention to. And you know, what I look at is this. We all would like to keep avoid lockdown.
Sure.
None of us want to go to lockdown.
No one does.
But if we can wear our masks and follow some of these safe guidelines set up by the CDC, then we can avoid lockdown and our economy's not going to be affected.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is in our best interest to pay attention and do what we can to keep ourselves and others safe.
Right.
Right. So I am one of the things that I just ordered, I ordered little mask bags for everybody. I shouldn't say this. But anyway, I ordered extra masks and mask covers, you know, little pouches to put them in. But I always keep my stash of masks close by. But when we're talking about Thanksgiving, let's talk about the CDC tips for what is safe. So what they're saying is that you hold only a small dinner with people who live in your household. Now, I think some of us kind of amend this to our pod, right? We're our adult.
I was just going to say, we're doing our little bubble.
Yeah. Which is what we have done too, is that we know our adult children, everyone kind of is on board with what we should be doing, and we're the ones who come together.
Yeah.
But when they're outsiders,
right?
Like my kids had some people over and they want to shake my hand or hug me. And I just say, no, I'm sorry. I don't do that. And I hope people don't feel offended by that. But you're not in my pod.
Right.
I'm not having physical contact with you.
And everyone is different. You know, like you and I are working with people at all different ages and at risk groups. And I mean, if I get sick, I can't work.
Yes.
And then people aren't getting, you know, it's mental health for a lot of us to be in the gym and be working out and these relationships. This, I just left and one gal's workout buddy is going to, they're doing their quarantine before they go to just one house at their kids for Thanksgiving. And so she's going to be by herself. She's like, this is my only social.
Yes.
Coming to the gym.
Yeah. So we really have to be careful to protect ourselves and others. So small gatherings with our pod is important. Now, if you can't have contact with some of your friends and or family, what you can do is kind of prepare a traditional meal. And especially for people who are at higher risk of COVID and severe consequences, deliver it. Deliver a Thanksgiving meal to somebody you love. That's a thing. And then celebrating a virtual dinner and sharing recipes with friends and family. So my son and Eugene probably won't come with us, come to see us. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably do a virtual dinner with him.
Right.
Right. And I might even send him some food down there. We'll see. But being creative about how we do it. The other thing that I think is a good tip is shop online rather than in person on the day after Thanksgiving or the following Monday, right? So you really want to be careful about those high-risk times of infection.
Right.
And not really going into places that are high exposure right after we've all been around other people. And of course, watching sports events, parades, and movies from home.
Right.
Instead of in person. So those are some of the CDC tips. The other thing that I've used in my therapy practice is there are certain people who don't really want to spend time with their family.
Mm-hmm.
This is a perfect excuse for saying, gee, I don't feel really safe this year.
That's true.
So if you have any qualms at all about whether you want to be around people, whether it's because of their political leanings or personal issues, mm-hmm. it's absolutely acceptable to say, this doesn't feel very safe.
Yeah. We're going to... like I mentioned earlier in the show, my kids live in this town, and so we are in the same bubble. My folks also live in the same town, so we're very lucky. Our plan still, though, is to have just that group.
Yes.
But also, Jeff has a plan for a huge bonfire outside. You know, our shop is huge. Have a fire going inside there. Open everything up.
Yep.
So we can all still be together, but follow some rules and have distance, you know.
And that's what I was going to talk about next, is that you can, in fact, hold holiday gatherings outside. So as you said, so my daughter and her partner wanted to have a going away gathering. So they built a bonfire down on the property.
Uh-huh.
And they were outside. They were able to socially distance. We have a toilet down there so finding ways to do it creatively. And, you know, you dress warmly. Think about it that you can dress like you're headed to the ski slope. Wear layers.
Yeah, I mean, we're fine. We're from Idaho.
Yeah. And they chose their gathering from 2 to 7. So it was started in the earlier part of the day when it was warmer. So you can, midday is a warmer time.
We are, like in years past, we make it an all-day event. We are shortening it. You know, we are just going to make it, 4 hours and just keep it smaller. And I've talked to a lot of people trying to get information for the show, and that seems to be what most people are doing. They're not willing to just say, we're not doing this.
Right.
Because emotionally, it's hard enough right now.
Yes.
And people, they're watching their folks really, there's an impact in the mental health area. Like they're down. And so the families have talked and tried to decide, outweighing what do we do in this situation? If we didn't do it, that would be almost worse.
Yes.
So how can we do this in a healthy way?
Yes. And I'm a really big believer in rituals of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though there may only be three of us, I will still set my table and have fresh flowers and get dressed up.
Absolutely.
I mean, those rituals keep us sane,
yes.
Right? Because if we give up too much, it's loss.
Yeah.
If we don't have those things to look forward to, things that bring us joy. So I think it is important to maintain as much of those traditions as possible, even if it's in an altered way.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, Helen yesterday, are we still going to get to do this? And are we still, all these rituals that these kids grew up with.
Yes.
If they were gone, I can't imagine.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So outside, there are so many more outdoor heating systems that you can buy now.
Sure.
Blankets, right? Bring big blankets outside. Yeah. You can sit outside. Gloves and hats. Really keeping yourself warm, but to be outside. Now, if you are determined to gather indoors with family or friends, then you really should follow the rules and make sure that everyone prioritizes everyone else's safety and unnecessary exposures. So what that means is that if you're going to gather with people, don't go to public places like bars and restaurants, and be really careful about when you go to the grocery store. So, for me, those things, we've stopped going out to dinner, just as a safety precaution right now. So we're doing takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And I think being really careful about when and how you go to the grocery store, but limiting your exposure to high-risk places is really important. And the last thing that I think is important is that we really have to focus on what we're grateful for.
Yeah.
So paying attention, we do our gratitude prayer every night anyway, but especially at this time of the year and in the situation with COVID and the elections, I think remembering what we can be grateful for and what we come back to a lot, Alex and I will always say, we love that we have access to the outdoors.
Absolutely.
I feel bad for people in cities who don't have the opportunity to get out and play in nature the way we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, we are so fortunate to live where we do. I know I have my friends in New York and they send me videos of their outside activities. You know, I'm training them virtually inside, but they do go out because that is part of their workout, is to get exercise outdoors. And it's so different.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so different.
Yeah. Walking in the woods and watching the leaves and my dog romping in the woods is such a gift. And the one more thing, I think it's important to realize that compare this with history, that compared to some of the things that have happened in the past, ours is really not as bad as it could be, that people have endured sacrifices throughout history. You know, we're not at war,
right?
Which is a gift. Right. Things could be much, much worse.
Yeah.
And every time I'm sitting in my house in front of my warm fire and I've got my cozy dog and my husband, I think, what am I complaining
Pretty
about?
Awesome. Yeah, we have a lot to be thankful for.
Yes.
So thank you, Jill.
Yes. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Let's do it safely.
Let's do it. And let's start coming back together, everyone.
Yes.
All right. This has been Functional Health Radio.